Good morning. Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. We are talking to Brittany Russell today. She's the program coordinator and advocate with the CARE program with Solette's Health Clinic. Good morning.
Morning, Casey.
It's great to have you back on the program. I know, and I think next week or the following week, we're going to be proclaiming Sexual Awareness Month with the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners,
mm-hmm.
and so it's nice to have you come back and talk to us about sexual assaults. Brittany, maybe you could give us just an overview of what you do with the health clinic. What does a program coordinator do? And by the way, if you're just joining us, this is Brittany Russell. She used to be the education and outreach specialist, and now you are running the show. So what
yep.
are you doing over there?
So I am the program coordinator and advocate for the Solette's CARE program, and we are a culturally specific sexual assault and domestic violence agency out in Solette's. I work with Native American victims of sexual assault, domestic violence, dating violence, and stalking.
Mm-hmm.
I also work with the Solette's community as a whole. My main task is to be an advocate for victims, to be their non-biased, to be their 100% biased supporter, provide them with any resources they may need, whether that's talking, counseling, getting them set up with a safety plan to get out of an abusive relationship, helping them with finding housing, just anything that they need to make their situation better. So that's my main job.
Mm-hmm.
I also spend a lot of time doing, as the program coordinator right now, and then in my previous position as the outreach specialist, just getting out in the community and letting people know what is sexual assault, what is domestic violence, you know, how can you recognize these things, and if you know somebody in that situation, you know, what can you do, what can parents do, what can teachers do, what can employees do, and then just, you know, educating the public on the CARE program and, you know, that the fact that there's a resource there for them, and just getting the word out as much as possible.
Brittany, kind of curious, as far as funding for the program, how much of that comes from the tribe? Does the tribe get grants as well? Where does funding come from for a program like this?
My program is completely funded by a grant from the Department of Justice Office on Violence Against Women.
Mm-hmm.
We are housed within the Solette's Health Clinic, so we use space from the tribe, but all of our funding is from a grant awarded to the tribe through the Department of Justice.
So as the coordinator, you're really an advocate. You spend a lot more time one-on-one with individuals and who have acknowledged or having difficulty with sexual assault or violence
mm-hmm.
now. So kind of a different activity. I mean, I imagine you'd come across individuals as an outreach person and then refer them to the advocate. Previously?
Yeah, a lot of times if I would run into somebody who would disclose sexual assault or some sort of violence to me, I would say, you know, I can do some basic talking with you, but,
yeah.
you know, if you really want some more resources, I'll refer you to our advocate, mm-hmm. and she can help provide you with some of those resources. So now I'm the one, you know, working one-on-one with people, whether I meet them through when I'm out doing speaking events or doing small group stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I meet somebody, then I tell them to, you know, give me a call, come back to my office on whatever time works for you, and
mm-hmm.
just one-on-one.
How is that work different for you? Is it easier, harder, more emotional? What are your days like?
I would say, you know, there's a little more emotion involved. It's sometimes, you know, it's hard for me to see somebody, you know, suffering or a victim who's having a lot
yeah.
of difficulties and knowing that I can help them with some things, but that I can't just fix the problem.
Sure.
So sometimes that can be a little emotional, but overall it's not easier or harder, it's just a lot different.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you're just joining us, this is Brittany Russell. She is the program coordinator and advocate for the Solette's Community Health Clinic and their CARE program. We're talking about Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Thursday Connections. And Brittany Russell, program coordinator for the CARE program with the Solette's Community Health Clinic, talking about Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Brittany going to be presenting to the Board of Commissioners in about a week and a half. Brittany, let's talk about what it is. I mean, let's define what sexual assault is. I mean, I don't mean to be oversimplistic, but I think we do need to have some idea of what we mean when we define sexual assault.
Yeah. So in the broadest sense, sexual assault is any unwanted sexual contact, whether it's obtained through force, manipulation, it doesn't have to be physical force, and it's any form of sexual contact, touching, kissing, groping, physical penetration. So any of those things are considered sexual assault as long as they're obtained without consent.
Now, when we look at a timeline in terms of history, I mean, do we have a point at which culturally we decided, more in an outward way to become aware of it and to legally prosecute it? I mean, how does this fit into the picture?
It's something that's still being, it's still definitely something that could be improved. It's only been in the past past decade or so that marital rape was even considered a thing that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, it was assumed or thought that you could not rape somebody that you were married to. So that has been something new, new development recently. And it's something that continues, just the concept of sexual assault continues to develop, and people still, even now, think that certain people are quote-unquote unrapeable. Some people believe that you cannot rape a prostitute because, mm-hmm. They have sex for money, therefore they are just open all the time, is mm-hmm. kind of like the perception that some people have. So it's something that's still evolving. We are definitely getting better. There have been more laws for prosecuting, more laws protecting sexual assault victims, like rape shield laws, which prevent a person's sexual history from being introduced as evidence in a mm-hmm. sexual assault case. But we definitely still have a long way to go. Only about 3% of rapists ever see a conviction or a prison cell. Most rapes go unreported simply because the prosecution rates are so low that people often don't want to go through the whole process of trying to take it to trial if they think they're going to lose. So there's still a long ways to go, but things are getting better.
So when you talk about the Denim Day or the Denim Program?
Mm-hmm. Denim Day.
How does that fit into this discussion right now?
So Denim Day is a protest that basically shows that clothing does not invite rape. And it's based on a case out of Italy back in about 1990 where a girl, she was with her driving instructor, and he took her out to a deserted area and forced himself on her. And she ended up losing the case in court because she had worn tight jeans and mm-hmm. she had to help him take them off. She had to take them off herself for him. So the judge said that by taking her jeans off, she was consenting to that sexual encounter.
Right. So historically, it sounds like, men have been the perpetrators of sexual assault to women. Occasionally, it goes the other direction. What's the general stats on this?
It definitely goes, in the other direction as well. Especially when you look at sexual abuse at an earlier age, about 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men will be raped at some point in their lifetime. But when you look at youth, about 1 in 6 boys and 1 in 4 girls will experience some form of sexual assault before the age of 18, and that can be in the context of sexual abuse from a family member or a coach or, clergy, just any kind of adult that they may have a relationship with. It's typically someone they know, not a stranger. Most rapes are committed by someone that is known to the victim, not, that stranger in the bushes that most people are afraid of, which is another reason that people often have a hard time believing that a certain rape happened, because, they have in their head, the CSI, Law and Order definition of what a rape is, and it's that stranger that breaks into your house or jumps out when you're jogging, and if you don't have bruises and you didn't fight back, and if you didn't do all those things, then obviously you weren't raped, and that is very, very much not the case at all.
Yeah, I had a couple of coworkers yesterday who went to the Children's Advocacy Center child abuse training, and there too as well, very inter-family, or a family relative. It seems to be a common thing, so there's a definite connection there.
Mm-hmm. And April, you know, in addition to being Sexual Assault Awareness Month, is also Child Abuse Awareness Month, and
okay.
I think it's really important to recognize that intersection of child abuse and sexual assault, because sexual abuse is definitely a, sadly, a very common thing.
So in addition to looking at your Facebook page, what kind of resources online? If you're just joining us, we are talking about Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And where might you recommend people go online? I mean, the resources are there. I put in sexual assault awareness, and I got, it looks like a national page.
Yeah.
What page was that?
The best resource I would say is the National Sexual Violence Resource Center. It's NSVRC, and their website is www.nsvrc.org.
Yeah.
And they have just, you know, a ton of tips, resource pages that you can access, articles that you can read, for everything from, you know, parents, teachers, coaches, medical professionals, anybody who has any contact, you know, basically yeah. anyone, because we all have contact with other people in our day-to-day lives. So they have tips for, you know, understanding what sexual assault is,
mm-hmm.
how to work with somebody who may be a survivor, how to handle if a survivor discloses their story to you. If you are a survivor, you know, what you can do, what some of your resources are. You know, how to talk to teens or other young people about healthy sexuality, consent, sexual assault. So there are a ton of resources there that people can read. And if they'd like somebody to come speak, you know, I am available to come and give talks or presentations to any sort of group about sexual assault, domestic violence, consent, whatever people are interested in learning more about.
We're talking to Brittany Russell. So the information is out there through her online about sexual assault. We're talking about sexual assault awareness. We'll be back, finish up the program with her in just a moment. And we are talking about Sexual Assault Awareness Month. You do have some activities coming in. I think we should plug this. It's a way to support the cause.
Yes.
Get a little exercise. I will be running. My wife will be running in your SAM 5K. How long have you been doing this?
This is our second year doing the SAM 5K. So last year we kind of did our inaugural event.
Mm-hmm.
We paired it up with a silent auction and an Earth Day fair. This year it's just going to be the 5K run walk, but we will be having one of the big things you will like last year was the hot, fresh, delicious chowder from Newport Chowder Bowl.
Ooh.
After the race.
Yummy.
Which we will be having again. Mike Franklin from the Newport Chowder Bowl was gracious enough to donate a couple pots of chowder for all the runners to enjoy after the race.
Excellent.
So the race, this year we have a couple sponsors too, Lincoln Plumbing and Doll Disposal Service, both great local businesses who are providing support for sexual assault victims here in mm-hmm. Lincoln County. So the run is Saturday, April 26th. It starts at 9 a.m. Registration is going to open at 8 a.m. And there will be an awards ceremony at 10:15. We're going to give awards to top male and female, top masters male and female, anybody over 40.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also going to do the age group awards, and there's going to be a prize for best dressed. Teal is the official Sexual Assault Awareness Month color.
Okay.
So we are encouraging everyone to bring out any teal they have. Make yourself a little teal tutu, get some teal hats, a teal tie, whatever you have in teal, and then we will have a little contest. Dogs are also welcome at the event, so people are welcome to bring their dog and walk their dog or their stroller, anything to just kind of, you know, get out and get moving and, you know, get families doing healthy things together. And then all of the funds raised will support the care program's clients and other activities that we do.
Yeah, you know, and it's the kind of event where if you haven't done one of these 5Ks, you know, it's not like the Uber athletes are. I mean, there are some people that are very fast,
yeah.
but it's kind of for everybody. You don't need to be an Olympic superstar
yeah, we are inviting
to come out to this.
Everyone, you can, if you don't want to run, you can walk. We had plenty of people last year who just walked the whole thing. It's only 3.1 miles. It, you know, it's a relatively flat course, and it's just a good way to, you know, get out and get a little bit of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Registration is $25 for adults or $15 for students, children 18 and under. And that includes an event t-shirt if you register by the 10th. And then it also includes, you know, that chowder after the race. We're going to have coffee, hot cocoa, and just lots of other fun refreshments and hopefully some music. And it'll just, you know, it's just a good way to support the community and get out and have fun.
Great idea. You know, maybe talk about what we're supporting in terms of, you know, healthy sexuality. What do we think of when we think of that?
So healthy sexuality is, especially when I think about it in, like, in the context of young people, like teenagers, it's teaching youth what a healthy expression of their sexuality is and what is an okay, you know, behavior, teaching them to be respectful of their own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you need to respect your own body before you can really get out and be sexually active in any way. You know, and parents recognizing that teens will probably be in some way sexually active, whether it's, you know, just touching or more than that, and educating kids on what a healthy sexual relationship looks like and understanding that, you know, there needs to be a balance of power, and that a 17-year-old having their first relationship with someone who is like 25, you know, is not a healthy balance of power. You know, and teaching them what consent is and that they have every right to say no, but then also teaching them how to recognize consent from someone else and recognizing that if their partner pushes them away or if their partner seems upset or if their partner is intoxicated, you know, that person can't give consent for any sexual contact. So just, you know, teaching them to understand that just because somebody doesn't say no doesn't mean that they are saying yes. Really, the only way to fully gain consent is that, like, that enthusiastic yes. That, you know, this is what I want to do. And it can't be while they are under the influence of any sort of intoxicants, or, you know, feeling pressure. A common scenario, especially with earlier relationships, is the, come on, you know, if you love me, you would have sex with me. You know, everybody else is doing it, and they, you know, you keep kind of wearing on them until finally the partner gives in and says, you know, fine, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And that, while they said, okay, fine, you know, it's not really a yes.
Yeah.
Because that was sort of something they were coerced into, pressured into with a lot of talking.
Yeah, you know, the consent piece to the healthy sexuality, I mean, really a tough time teens are going through, you know, in this transition from adolescence to teens and adulthood. And Brittany, it's great that you are so passionate about what you're doing and helping people out and raising awareness and, you know, raising our understanding. If folks are listening to us today and they want to learn more about the program, the Select Care program, how do we get in contact with you?
So they can call my office. My number is 541-444-9679.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/Select Care. That's a good way to kind of get an idea of what our activities are. And then you could also send me an email. It's brittanyr@ctsi.nsn.us. And I can get in contact through email. I could get them signed up on our mailing list so they can get my monthly e-newsletter and updates on the events that we have going on.
Okay. And don't forget, we also have the SAM 5K Run Walk. That's Saturday, April 26th. And run or walk, right?
Run or walk. And something I didn't mention is how to sign up.
Okay.
So go to www.saam5k.eventbrite.com, and that is where the online registration is.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining me today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay. And if you have been listening to our program today and want to get involved, go online and look for that information. Thanks for joining us, and we'll have more next week on Lincoln County Connections. Have a great day.